You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thing.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the Leading Bargain liquid detergent.
Twin Cities News Talk, Hour 3. My name is John Justice. In there is producer Robbie with an operating computer. Mine's still reloading.
We're functioning on full power in here.
Well, yeah, because the audio clip was a little low that we were playing a representative Breon Curon. We've got lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien in studio.
Hello.
Good morning, Jeff. We got Max Reimer in studio.
Still here.
So I was playing that clip, and Robbie had gone out to get Jeff, and I ran out of the studio to turn the audio clip up, and one didn't have anything to do with another, but when I turned the volume up, my computer suddenly froze. Thankfully, Max Reimer in here is a true professional. Immediately began speaking.
So what we had was we had a fire drill? Is that what we had?
Something like that.
Yeah, we had too many men in the huddle.
I don't have to work out now, that's for sure. Got my heart going.
Okay.
Well, the clip cut off, and I was sitting here going, that was not a natural ending.
No, that clip. No, that was not intentional. So we'll play the remainder of that clip here in just a moment. So let's back up a bit, and I'm going to bring lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien into this. So there was a hearing yesterday with regard to changes made to provisions in the Human Rights Act. And like I said earlier, I was chatting back and forth with Representative Walter Hudson. The Human Rights Act was changed last year to add gender identity as a protected class. It had an important implication that apparently nobody caught at the time. There's a religious exemption in the act for churches and such, exempting them from discrimination claims over sexual orientation. Prior to the change in the law, gender identity was covered by that exemption because it was read as inclusive within sexual orientation. But because they made it its own distinct category now, because they didn't put that new category into religious exemption, churches are now subject to discrimination over gender identity. And this was something that was echoed by Representative Harry Niska, saying the new language last year passed on gender identity. Because of this, congregations, religious schools can now be targets of discrimination for upholding their views on sex and gender. Minnesota faith groups asked for clarification for these protections, and Walls and the DFL majority yesterday made it clear that they want religious groups to be forced to adhere to the state's beliefs with regard to gender. Does all of this interpretation so far as you hear it, does this sound fairly accurate in your opinion, Jeff?
Of what's going on, yes.
What's going to happen when this is eventually, in your opinion, challenged in court? I can't imagine if this continues to go the way that it's going that it won't be challenged in court.
Yeah, if it stays this way without any sort of, if the exemption that exists in the current act or in the act for sexual orientation isn't extended to gender identity, then I think this revised language has a problem in the courts. The Supreme Court has decided, this was started out the Cake Baker case, and then there was a second case that came up, and they specifically addressed this issue. If this will be added to the pile of laws that have been passed by this legislature that will be deemed unconstitutional by the courts, unfortunately, what it means is someone is going to end up being prosecuted or sued or having a complaint filed against them by the Department of Human Rights before it gets to that point, having to spend money to defend themselves and their beliefs and, in federal court to have this passed out. But this is something, John, you and I have been talking all week about this. This was the commentary earlier in the week, Justice Alito in this order denying, cert in this case involving the Missouri Department of Corrections employee, where he kind of said, I was concerned about it going this way. And he kind of made some saber rattling about the marriage case they decided years ago, Obergefell. And you and I were back and forth. Like, he's like, what did you think he was going here? I said, I think he's getting at exactly this, where, to the extent that you're going to deem persons who are adhering to their, you know, sincere belief, religious beliefs as bigots. I think he was sort of kind of tapping the gun handle in the old Western, you know, movie style, saying, you want to go there, we'll go there. We'll roll things back if you guys want, if you're going to try to take this further. So I'll be, you know, if it stays as it's written, this would be challenged in court, and I think it has a very good, very strong likelihood of being tossed out.
I want to revisit a talk back from last hour. We have friends of the show, and we also have foes of the show. Those of foes of the show listen all the time, but don't necessarily agree with what is talked about on the show. So we played this earlier, and I had asked for a response and examples, but here is the talk back.
Oh, my goodness, that was so funny. I want to live my life and be left alone. The Christian conservative right won't leave people alone. They just won't. It's a fact. I've lived it my entire life because I'm not a Christian. Been discriminated against nonstop. So what about guys like me that just get shoveled over?
Okay, so I asked, please, I would like to know the examples of how the conservative Christian right has discriminated against you nonstop, and they left another talk back.
I personally prefer small towns. When it is actually found out that I'm not conservative and Christian, my wife's a pagan, my kids were instantly freaking bullied in school. Instantly. It got to the point where I was going to go down and beat the crap out of the freaking principal just because of it. That's why.
That's all that he's left so far. If you want to, Max, if you want to go.
Yeah. Listen, as a Christian, it sounds like this gentleman has had a lot of really bad encounters with, you know, more conservative communities, possibly like generally Christian communities. And it sounds like there's real deep pain there. And, you know, on behalf of Christians everywhere, I guess, I apologize that you have had that experience in those small towns. I hope that this talkbacker, though, can recognize that there's a difference between cultural pressure, where if his wife's a pagan, that people are mocking them or what have you, and codifying something like that. Doing something in the legislature that says you cannot be a pagan. You cannot say these things. You cannot express yourself in the way that you want to. That's what we're warring against right now. That's what we're saying is wrong, right? There's always going to be rhetoric among communities that disagree with maybe where you stand on things, but there is a huge difference between that and saying this is the letter of the law. And in your case, Mr. Talkbacker, we're going to punish you for being a pagan. That's what's at stake right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between the actions, which were horrible, and I agree with Max. There's people that call themselves Christians that don't act like Christians, right? And that sounds like what the talkbacker experienced. But what we're talking about is enshrining this in law, that if you hold certain beliefs, that you can be penalized, whether it be from the government or in a court of law in a civil lawsuit, for not adhering to what the state says you should believe. I mean, that's the foundation of our country, is that we don't establish an official religion. We have freedom of religion. You know, that's the First Amendment. It's ordered that way for a reason. It's sacrosanct. And what this does is basically saying, we're going to override your religious beliefs and make you believe this under penalty of law.
To the talkbacker as well, let me just say up front, okay? There are there's good people on both sides, and there's bad people on both sides, right? Okay? When it comes to what you're describing here with your children, I would agree. Children shouldn't be bullied. Nobody should be bullied over their religious beliefs or lack thereof. So I think, ultimately, we can find common ground here. If we can agree, Christians should not go and discriminate against other individuals. And in my opinion, if you're following the tenets of the Bible, and I don't want to make this Bible thumping, it's my own personal belief. If you're following the tenets of the Bible, then you should not be going and discriminating against other people. You're not going to make me believe what I believe is a lie. You're not going to make me change that opinion. But at the same time, we can find common ground on this, and nobody should be discriminating against anybody. So I would think at the end of the day, the talkbacker would end up ultimately agreeing with us in this case on a much bigger issue, as lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien was saying, codifying this into law. It's a completely different situation altogether.
Find me the Republican legislator right now who is saying that we need to have a law or a constitutional amendment in place for you to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior.
Yeah.
Find me the Republican who's pushing that. There isn't one.
If you have any questions for lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien on this, you can leave us a talk back on the iHeartRadio app. You can also email justice@iheartmedia.com. We'll, of course, take your phone calls as well. 651-989-5855. To what Jeff was talking about a moment ago, there was an editorial originally in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, reprinted in the Star Tribune. Hold on to your wedding rings. Alito has thoughts about same-sex marriage. The 18-year Supreme Court justice, emboldened, they write, by a supermajority, appears interested in revisiting settled law. And as Jeff was mentioning, this ties into the discussion we're having when it comes to religious freedom here in the state and what the DFL is attempting to do. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Every day, he takes the pulse from the good people of Minnesota. John Justice, mornings from 6 to 9 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, FM 103.5, and on iHeartRadio.
Here's a look at the roads. 694 northbound, stop and go from 94 to 34th Street North. That crash has cleared. 94 eastbound, Olson Memorial to Hen-Lindale Avenue, still stop and go. 169 southbound before 7th Street. A disabled vehicle blocks the right lane. And Lafayette Freeway northbound, Plato to 94, solid on the exit ramp there. Currently, it's 37 degrees. Your next report in 15 minutes on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and FM 103.5. Traffic is sponsored by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. So if you drive safely, you could save money. Good to know. Visit Allstate.com or call for a quote today.
It's going to be a gorgeous weekend to kick off our March. It's the time of year that you should be enjoying life. Stop letting the pain in your joints keep you from doing what you want to do this spring. Call QC Kinetics now. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. I'm talking about lasting joint pain relief. No surgery, no drugs, no downtime. And it's a fact. QC Kinetics is literally transforming lives. I've been hearing from friends of the show who have gone into QC Kinetics. You go in for treatment, you walk right out after treatment. Many, after just a treatment or two, are feeling better than they did when they started. Feeling better walking out than they did when they walked in. And that's because the advanced treatments at QC Kinetics harness your own body's ability to restore and repair the damage joint tissue. Pro athletes have been doing this for decades. Now, they've made this life-changing treatment available to you so you can walk, you can run, climb stairs, play golf, move again pain-free. No pain pills, no risky surgery. It's an all-natural solution. Take action now and live your best life this spring and summer. And it's a great use for your tax refund check, too. So call QC Kinetics for a free consultation, 612-254-7123. That's 612-254-7123. Call QC Kinetics now at 612-254-7123. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. My name is John Justice, in there, playing your generic hits as producer Robbie.
what is that?
We talked about this, Robbie. Don't give me that look.
I've talked enough today.
This clearly sounds like...
Is this a GarageBand guitar riff or?
Yeah, pretty much. Max Rivers in studio with me.
We got the cast of 21 Jump Street in studio.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. All right, a couple of talkbacks here. We had foe of the show, and we were talking about a live and let live mentality with regard to what the DFL is attempting to do when it comes to religious freedom in this state, to going back to the Human Rights Act from last year. But you can also apply a lot of what we're talking about with the Equal Rights Amendment that they're working on putting to voters in the 2026 election and changing with the proposed amendment to Minnesota's Constitution. But to that, actually, I didn't put a pin there because there's a lot to cover. So before I get to that, I want to get to a few talkbacks here. We had a talkbacker that foe of the show, talking about discrimination from Christian conservatives, asked him for an example, and he talked about how he is his wife's a pagan, he's not a Christian, and moved to a small town, and his child was bullied at their school because, or wherever, playground, because they found out he wasn't a Christian. I'm not sure how that all plays out, but that's the example that he gave. Got a few comments with regard to that.
What the foe of the show is talking about, what goes on in the culture, the difference is that what this new law would do is discriminate my thoughts and my beliefs and truths and put me in jail for it. That's not right. The foe of the show was not put in jail for his non-religious beliefs.
Yeah, and nobody should be discriminating against anybody else, but just, again, clarifying and making the point of what we're talking about. There are two big differences here. We'll also go here.
I'll take that never happened for a thousand, Alex, in reference to talkbacker guy. Yeah, Christians are always out there persecuting pagans. It happens all the time. Yeah, it's a problem.
So, with regard to, you know, we're talking about this change in the Human Rights Act and what it could do for our religious institutions, congregations and religious schools targeting for discrimination. But you also have Jeff O'Brien with support throughout the Democrat majorities in Minnesota and the Minnesota Senate, and a piece here from Alpha News going back to the ERA being a top priority for the DFL. This year, the ERA may be approved by the legislature and placed on the ballot for consideration by the public. Currently, the proposed amendment in the Constitution reads, all persons shall be guaranteed equal rights under the laws of the state. The state shall not discriminate against any person in intent or effect on the account of race, color, national origin, ancestry, disability, or sex, including but not limited to pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, reproductive freedom, gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation. I don't know how much you've looked at this yet, but if this were put on the ballot and passed by the voters, is it possible that, as I've used as an example, I had my church sermon last week, talked about men and women, specifically said two genders, a man and a woman. If that goes against what this proposed amendment would be, could that church essentially be targeted for hate speech, in your opinion?
I mean, theoretically, yes. I mean, historically, there has always been exemptions for religious beliefs, right? I mean, when Minnesota passed the marriage equality law in 2013, there was language in there that provided protections for religious organizations to not have to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies, right? It's been a hallmark of all of our law. Anytime you come up against some of these issues, there's always been an acknowledgement that there are widespread religious beliefs that are contrary to some of this. And it's not just Christians. We've been talking about Christians. You know, what was it? St. Louis Park Schools a few weeks ago,
right,
allows Muslim parents to opt their kids out of LGBTQ education. So you're talking about Christians and Muslims here that in their deeply held beliefs have a differing opinion. So yeah, in theory, you could be prosecuted or persecuted or sued for doing some of these things, for speaking out contrary to what the law, the text of that. And I guess we'll have the courts to decide.
To that point, because we won't have a chance to get to it today, I had a couple of stories relating to this new terminology and targeting of Christianity specifically. It all has this very critical race theory feel to it, where it's the white man, it's white supremacy.
Oppressed oppressor.
But yep, it's always focused on just the demographic of white people. And here, same thing when it comes to this Christian nationalism, because you can take the definition how they want to narrowly define. It's really not narrowly defined. You can take that and you can go and apply it to any religion you wanted to, with regard to individuals basing, whether it's candidates, politicians, basing decisions that they make, you know, even crafting laws over their personal religious beliefs. It's not just Christianity that people believe in that serve in positions of power. To your point, if the And we can go off of either one, either the ERA or the Human Rights Act. If there is a church that's targeted, is it possible that just Christian churches get targeted for lawsuits and the other churches end up getting left alone? Is there an argument to be made that why aren't other churches being targeted while this church is being targeted? If I'm wording that question appropriately, hopefully you understand what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean, you have equal protection language in both the state and federal constitution. So if the state were to single out, say, Christian sects for, you know, action, adverse action because of their beliefs, but you have, say, persons of Islamic faith that just basically get, you know, that aren't treated similarly, you're going to have a problem. Yes, absolutely.
I think we say that we've seen that play out in real time here in Minnesota. Recall the story of the Muslim parents who protested in St. Louis Park.
Right, he was just mentioning, yeah.
And got their kids out of the sex curriculum that they were trying to push down their throats. Let me pose the hypothetical. What if that was a bunch of white Christian parents asking for the same thing? Do you think that the school board would have acquiesced in the same way that they did with the Muslim parents? I contend that they would not.
Well, and it was interesting to see the Queer Caucus react to that particular issue, saying they were going to go and keep an eye on it, mm-hmm. which puts a big question mark on all of this to me, because I would like to believe that there are individuals within the DFL smart enough to realize what they are stepping into right now. We already have divisions among the left over a myriad of issues, including what's happening in Israel right now and the protests taking place. You already see divisions within certain factions of liberalism and Democrats here in the state. I'm a little surprised that it's gone as far as it is, because I'd like to think that there are individuals within the DFL that know we're really opening up a can of worms by going down this road for religious groups that typically align with the left and Catholic organizations, for just as an example.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the ruling party has made a decision that, you know, persons that are speaking out of the Christian faith equate to conservatives, so they don't need their votes, so they don't care. But when Muslim parents speak up and say, we don't want our kids to be a part of this, and the school district lets them opt out, and you said the question, they're going to monitor it, we're going to keep our hands off of this because we need the votes.
Let's go to the phones and talk to a friend of the show, JR in Minneapolis. Good morning, JR. You're on Twin Cities News Talk. You're also on with Max Reimer and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Thank you so much, Johnny. Thank you for discussing this, too. And a question for Jeff, if I may, two pieces. One, does this law create a criminal scenario or civil? First question. Second question or statement. Either way, can you imagine the people sitting in pews across the state looking for reasons to sue if this is put into law? Thanks, everyone.
I believe it would be, and I don't do human rights law, but I will make a guess is that the Minnesota Department of Human Rights could bring an administrative action, which would be more of a civil. It could be, you know, it could be fines and penalties. I don't think it's necessarily going to be criminal. But don't quote me on that. But it would be the Department of Human Rights that would have some ability to. It would be complaints filed with the Department of Human Rights, and they could, you know, bring an administrative action against whoever the alleged offender is.
Real quick, Jeff, is it similar, like, when we talk about the administrative power, the bureaucratic power to come down on people for violating human rights? I go back to what they were able to do during the lockdowns to small businesses. This department would have kind of the same purview as that, right?
Yep. Yes.
So paint the picture.
I mean, they have that power. They have that power now. You're just talking about giving them, if this passes with this language as it is, conceivably you're giving them more power to go after a larger group of people.
It seems as if, and we got to pause here for just a moment, but it seems as if the DFL is banking on this only being pointed and being used in the direction that they want it pointed and used at. That's what it appears to me. They expect that if this is used, it's only going to be going in a certain direction. And this is why, for me, my real cynical take on all of this is they know all of this is going to be challenged. But they also know that they can get this on the ballot. For example, the Equal Rights Act. If they can get that on the ballot in 2026, they know they can get individuals to come out and vote for it en masse, even though it's going to be challenged. That's why I take, while I believe that on their end, this is their own personal religion in these particular issues that they are fighting so hard for. This is their belief. This is their religion. And they're looking at Christianity and Christians as the enemy on this. And they genuinely believe in this fight. But the cynical part of me says, now, they want to be able to try to get as many people out voting for this as possible, regardless of the money wasted and how much this gets tied up in courts. All right, we're going to get to more of this. Your phone calls, your talkbacks, John Justice, producer Robbie, in studio, Max Reimer, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Words in some of those testimonies. I heard the word respect. I heard about missions. And one that really stood out to me is disturbing. That's what this amendment is. This is very disturbing. I am appalled that we are having this discussion. I'll try to keep it as brief as I can, but this is infuriating. This is absolutely infuriating. Somebody had mentioned that this is a direct attack, and you're absolutely right. This is a direct attack against the trans and non-binary communities, not just here in Minnesota, but across the country, where we are seeing people flee their states because of things like this. Last session, Minnesota said you are welcome here, and we're not going to dial that back. We stand firm that all are welcome here in Minnesota. So no, you cannot respect all people when you don't believe certain people exist. And I'm here to say that we do exist, and we're sitting in this room right in front of you. So if you can't understand identity, whether it's sexual identity or gender identity, perhaps, just perhaps, you might want to look people in the eye who do exist and are telling you that we are here as non-binary or trans. You can no longer claim that we don't exist or that you don't believe we are here. If you don't believe I am here, who is speaking to you right now? You need to hear this. If we are talking about dignity, where is the dignity in not recognizing our fellow neighbors? Where is the dignity in saying you are not accepted here? In accomplishing what mission exactly? Is that to erase thousands of people who are already here, people who have existed since the beginning of time? People are finally having the voice and finding the space and feeling safe enough to say who they are after, since the beginning of time.
I'm going to stop that there. Twin Cities News Talk. My name is John Justice. Again, in studio, Max Reimer, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. That was Representative Breon Curran, the Minnesota Democrat, lashing out against the testifiers who showed up for the committee hearing. And the quick overview on this, the Human Rights Act that was changed last year to add gender identity as a protected class had an important implication that no one caught at the time. And this was the changing of the language relating to religious exemptions. Churches are now subject to discrimination claims over identity. So religious groups, when this was discovered behind the scenes, looked to get clarification from the DFL. And it turns out that Niska, Representative Niska, offered an amendment yesterday during the Judiciary Hearing Committee to fix this, to remove the gender identity from the Human Rights Act that was passed last year. However, the DFL voted along party lines to double down on the nullification of the First Amendment and told the religious testifiers that their religious views are wrong and compared it to chattel slavery, told them they are hateful and there's no space for their believers. What Breon was talking about there, nobody is saying that individuals who identify a certain way don't exist. That has nothing, that has nothing to do with the language of what we're talking about with this whatsoever. There were already protections for individuals that identify this way. You can't go and force somebody to suddenly believe something that they don't. And this is what we're referring to.
Well, I think we should be clear here. When you talk about a religious liberty or religious freedom exemption, or, you know, in this language, it's a narrow exemption. What you're talking about is someone's religious practices. The lawsuits involved here have been wedding cakes, right? Because someone, you know, because someone doesn't believe a certain thing, right? Because of their religious beliefs. The, you know, I've seen some chatter online about can a pastor or a priest read Genesis because it talks about a man and a woman. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just because you are a Christian, you can discriminate against someone who is transgender, right? It's saying in terms of religious practices, religious, you know, those matters that pertain to religious beliefs, religious faith, the government can't infringe on that. That's what this is about. This isn't about a license to discriminate.
Let's go to the phones, 651-989-5855. We'll talk to Mike. Thanks for holding on, Mike. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Hi, guys. So the first thing that I was going to call about or ask about was, would this allow, or excuse me, mandate that a church like the Catholic Church hire women as priests? But I think a better example would be an ordained male priest that at some point decided they were transgender. Would they be forced to keep them on in that situation? Maybe I'm misunderstanding the law here as they're trying.
I'll let the lawyer in the room address that if he has an answer, Jeff O'Brien.
Yeah, to my last point, I think that's exactly the concern. That's why religious faith-based organizations are asking for clarification.
Let's go, and we will talk with, if I can get my phone to work, Lori in Bloomington. Thanks for holding on, Lori. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Oh, hi, guys. Happy weekend. Say, with the St. Louis Park allowing Muslims to opt their children out of the LGB classes and information, if this law does pass, if it's put on the ballot and passed, I'm wondering, are they going to enforce this in mosques, too? Because the St. Louis Park issue is going to be small potatoes to what Muslim parents see when it comes into their mosque.
Well, and this goes
anyway,
back to...
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Happy weekend, Maranatha. Bye.
So, and this goes back to what we were talking about before. I think my expectation is that those that are pushing this in the DFL and in the legislature are probably of the opinion it's going to get appointed in a certain direction. But if you wanted to... I know we've kind of gone over this ground already, but...
If it's... directed only at one particular religious faith, there's going to be issues with equal protection in that regard.
But to our point, there's the legal aspect, there's equal protection, and there is the intention, which is what we've discussed, of why they're doing this. The intention is to come down on Christianity. That's the intention of what they're trying to do. So I think, to Lori's call, no, I don't think you're going to see equal application of whatever this is in mosques.
Jeff O'Brien, let's go here. This editorial by the St. Louis Dispatch, reprinted in the Star Tribune. Hold on to your wedding rings. Alito has thoughts about same-sex marriage. And there's a lot in here. I know you've gone over this quite a bit. They bring in another case with regard to this Finney versus Missouri Department of Corrections. I can do a summary here unless you think you can do a faster summary than I, or just get into the heart of what Alito is addressing here and why in this editorial they're concerned that this could send potentially same-sex marriage the same thing the same-sex marriage that essentially what happened to Roe versus Wade, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. So real quickly, this case that was involved, Missouri Department of Corrections versus Finney. There was a woman who had been denied some benefits from her, she'd been terminated, fired, had some benefits that she was looking for from her employer, who was the Department of Corrections in Missouri. She was a lesbian. And there was, in the jury selection process, what they call voir dire, her counsel was asking jurors if they believe, based on the religious beliefs, do they support same-sex marriage?
Right.
And those that answered no were struck from the jury. And so that's part of what, why it would land in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they denied the certiorari petition on different grounds, but Justice Alito makes a comment of this is what he warned was concerned about or warned against in the Obergefell versus Hodges decision, which is the case that legalized same-sex marriage throughout the country, right, and overturned all the Defense of Marriage Acts around the country. And so there's been a lot of talk is, oh, are we going to, you know, the court overturned Roe v. Wade last year. Are they going to overturn Obergefell? They're going to make same-sex marriage illegal or whatever, which they are, this wouldn't be. Anytime the Supreme Court would, when they overrule these cases, it's not necessarily making something illegal. It's basically kicking it back to the states.
Right.
Basically saying that there's no federal right to this, right? But aside from that, you know, Alito and Justice Thomas have had this belief for a long time. They want to go at this inherent right of privacy that was found in the Constitution back in, I think it was early 70s, late 60s, this Griswold versus Connecticut case. I think they're a minority of the court, but I think part of what he was saying in the opinion denying cert is exactly what we're talking about today, is that this equating, you know, not supporting whatever it is because of a religious belief with bigotry. And you saw that play out in the hearings yesterday here in Minnesota. That's exactly what was raising the concern about in his opinion is this treatment that if, getting back to an earlier discussion, if you have Christian beliefs that somehow, no, you're a bigot under our legal system.
When we were talking about this prior to when you got here, Jeff, with Max Reimer off the air, just about this particular issue and the potential, because the first thing that popped into my mind when I saw this and I read through this was, okay, this could become the election issue 2.0 relating to Roe versus Wade, where the Supreme Court could decide to go and kick it back down to the states, and in which case a lot of individuals will go, yeah, the states should be able to go and decide these particular issues. And Max, you had mentioned the many states had already done that when it came to same-sex marriage before the Supreme Court.
Right, I think, and Jeff can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of states by that point were having their own ballot initiatives or their own, you know, legislation that was trending us in that direction anyway. And I think what the Supreme Court is doing with this potential decision and with the Roe versus Wade, the Dobbs decision, is going back and correcting bad rulings. You know, I think most people agreed that you can love abortion or hate abortion, but that Roe versus Wade was a bad fundamental ruling. There's the legal component of what the court is trying to do, and then there's the rhetorical and political component of that's the consequence of what they might be trying to do too. And I hope there's at least a little nugget in their mind that acknowledges what's going to happen if they decide to do something like this.
Do you see a potential where the Supreme Court could go and kick the issue of same-sex marriage back to the states in the same way they did Roe versus Wade? I'm asking you the question again, but just kind of going off of what Max was driving at here.
I don't think there are, like I said, I think Alito and Thomas might be the only two that hold this view on the court. Okay. I don't think that they will go to overturning the Obergefell decision. But you know, this is this constant push and pull with our system of federalism, right? Was the federal, where there's supposed to have been all of these federal rights versus, you know, if, you know, one state might have different laws than others and you can freely migrate to another state if you don't like what your state is doing. I hear constantly people that are, you know, where they're going, South Dakota, Florida, you know, fleeing Minnesota because of what they don't like, what's going on here. That's the beauty of America. That's the choice, right? If you don't like it, you can go to a different state. When it's federal laws and it's the, you know, you can't do that. So no, I don't see them going to, I think some of the justices may have opinions about how these cases were originally decided and how these rights were created. But I think in some cases, some of these things are so enshrined in law now that it would be, you know, it's just, you saw what happened with the Dobbs decision. I think that, you know, I think it would be difficult to overturn some of these and deal with it.
In the few minutes that we have left, let's just go here quickly. The Supreme Court to decide the Trump criminal immunity claim in the 20 election case. I had initially seen this being a negative for Trump, but then I immediately saw other individuals kind of feeling the same way that I did. And in particular, I have one here. Supreme Court is very good to Donald Trump, even without even a ruling on his immunity claim, and handed him a huge victory, and that would be time based off of their taking up the case. We've got a few minutes left. Share your thoughts on the Supreme Court taking up this issue.
Yeah, real quick. First of all, it's the special counsel that asked the Supreme Court to intervene on this, and he just, now there's a lot of hurt feelings because they're not doing it according to his time frame or whoever, you know, on the, in the media that they want to have this decided before the election, right? So the, you know, the argument is, if there was, is a president, can the, a president be criminally prosecuted for actions that were taken while they were president without having gone through the full impeachment and conviction by the Senate, right? That's what the Trump argument is. The issue is going to be, and I actually like that the court's taking this up, so they aren't just relying on a lower court ruling to establish this as the law of the land, however they decide. But I think they're going to come down, when they do come down and say, yes, there are, you know, certain acts you have, you know, official acts, you'd have to run through the impeachment gamut to get to convict a president in a criminal proceeding. But the question is going to be, was what the president was involved with, you know, with the speech and the rally on January 6th, considered part of the, you know, his official conduct, mm-hmm. right? Now, I think ultimately, practically speaking, I think they're trying to kick it far enough down the road where it becomes a moot point, because I think they're sick and tired of deciding Trump-related cases at the Supreme Court. I think that they just roll their eyes every time another one rolls in. You know?
Just hope he survives and gets reelected, so this can all go away, probably.
All right. Holy cow. I'm really curious to hear Robbie recap today.
Well, today's recap of National Minnesota Day, by the way. On March 1st, the land of 10,000 lakes is recognized on National Minnesota Day. So there you go.
Go get an abortion, people. That's what we're celebrating today.
Well, today's recap is always sponsored by the Sanvold Financial Group. Robbie's Rundown included stories on a new sports bar opening locally, unique in its own right. One fast food chain trolls Wendy's over its surge pricing rollout. And budget news emerges concerning light rail and more. Friend of the show, Max Reimer, joined the show for the final 2 hours of today's program, discussing Christian nationalism and more, as we chatted with Tom Emmer about the latest from the border and discussed the situation that unfolded in Burnsville. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien headed into studio for a Friday roundtable for our third hour as the trio discussed Trump's challenges in court, religious freedoms, the issues of abortions, and more as we played your talkbacks and took your calls all morning long. If you missed any of today's program, you can catch up on the podcast from today or any of this week's shows at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com or download it wherever you consume your, yes, it is National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Happy peanut butter to all. Happy weekend.
Max Reimer, thank you for coming in this morning, as always.
Covered a lot of ground today.
Jeff O'Brien, thank you. Great seeing you, lawyer extraordinaire.
Good to be here.
Thank you for listening. We are back at it on Monday at 6 a.m. I don't know about you. I'm going to watch a lot of NASCAR. May go see Dune Part 2 again. That's the kind of guy I am.
I'm going to see it too.
Yeah. Going to be fantastic. I'm going to get on the bike too. The weather's going to be great. So we'll talk to you guys on Monday. Bye.